I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later in the program today, we're going to meet Bella and Lily. Their first album, Count to Ten, was released in October. They've appeared at Lou Fest and recently opened for David Cook and the Go-Go's at the Pageant. Next week, they perform at the Sheldon at a benefit for Safe Connections. Also, the new artistic director of Metro Theater Company, Julia Flood, will join us for the first time. Metro's new production, Unsorted, opens on the 12th and examines issues of identity and belonging. And our first guest may have identity issues. I'm going to ask him.
Okay.
You've heard him on NPR's Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. He's a stand-up comedian, an actor, a TV director, and a Tonight Show arsonist.
Yes, I am.
Bobcat Goldthwait, welcome to Cityscape.
You know, in my defense, I did set the Tonight Show on fire, but I was cold. No, but in my defense, I did that back when people liked Jay Leno. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's been this weird backlash
in the past years.
Yeah. Like, people really thought I was crazy, you know? I was ahead of the curve. I'd like to say, this coffee is delicious.
Well, I didn't make it, but we can thank our staff for that.
No, but like I do a lot of rock radio shows, and
well, they use the cheap stuff.
Yeah, this NPR Fair Trade coffee is really hitting the spot.
That's Northwest Coffee Company, for the record.
Okay, good.
So, yeah, we know how to treat our guests. Hey, you've been on a lot of television talk shows. You just mentioned Jay Leno,
yeah.
But I was thinking too, David Letterman's been in the news. Because he just announced, was it yesterday?
That he's retiring.
That he's retiring. And I don't know, was that your first TV gig when you were on Letterman when you were, 20?
I was 20 years old when I did Letterman. But you know what's funny? They didn't introduce me as, this guy is 20 years old. You know, I think the introduction was that I was the strangest comedian they had seen or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. But I guess I wonder why he's retiring now. I mean, do you think it's everybody gets bored of
the
job.
Well, look how long he's done it.
Yeah, I understand that. I mean, I used to direct the Jimmy Kimmel Show. People didn't know that.
For a long time.
I did that for 3 years, like over 300-some episodes. And I got out of there. I was like, this guy's going nowhere. He's holding me back. No. I left it on good terms. But I think part of me leaving it did start feeling a little bit like a job.
Yeah. It's interesting now, all the stuff that's happening with the late night talk show. It's sort of the changing of the guard, all the new guys coming
along.
Yeah,
it is weird. And I think it's really strange. I mean, we're old enough to remember when Carson would have authors on the talk show. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And now it's just getting – I sound like an old guy griping, but, well, you know, hey, I'm on NPR, so I can be an old guy griping.
At least the coffee's good.
But you know, when I watch Fallon, you know, I'll go, oh, I really love – you know, I'd love to see Meryl Streep get interviewed, you know, and then mm-hmm. I watch her, and then she's breaking balloons with her butt or cracking eggs on people's heads. There's absolutely no talk left on the talk show.
Well, is that a commentary of how our culture has sunk?
Yeah, well, but what I find annoying is that I'm perceived as out of date or out of touch if I don't relate to Jimmy Fallon, because that's aimed at a younger audience, and it just seems like it's aimed at it's about nothing. You know, there is no discussion anymore.
Yeah, I guess maybe it shows my age too. I like the new guys, but I do. You know, I like the old better. The Lettermans, the Carson descendants.
Well, I like watching and listening to things where I learn something about the artist. When someone just comes on and plugs their latest product and when you flip around the dial, often these guys are doing the same jokes in their monologues and stuff. It's Kimmel always said, you know, we're the last batch that are ever going to get paid this well to do this, you know. I mean, the market is getting split up so much.
Yeah. You know, I was thinking about you earlier. Did you ever think about having a – why are you laughing? Did you ever think about having a late-night talk show of your own?
No, the idea of you thinking about me.
Don't take that the wrong way.
No, I'll take it anyway. It's a compliment. No. You know, I recently did a thing at the Paley – no, it wasn't at the Paley Center. It was at the Television Academy, where I interviewed – Robin Williams has been my best friend, one of my best friends since I was 19. And And I interviewed him, and it was funny. It went very well, and I could tell immediately afterwards. There's people like going, "Hey, have you ever thought about this?" And I was like, "No, no, no." I mean, I'm sure you're very fascinated talking to me, but there's got to be some times you're in here and you're looking at the person across the table going, "I'm talking to a piece of wood."
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's a thankless job.
Bobcat Goldthwait is our guest. He's appearing at the Funny Bone in Valley Park with performances left tonight and tomorrow.
Sunday.
We went through this off the air.
I know.
You're not really going to be there Sunday.
No, I'm not going to be there Sunday.
But, you know, if you did a show, this maybe shows I have been thinking about you too much. I thought of a name for your show.
Oh, good. Let's hear the pitch.
Now, I got to be able to say it right.
Okay.
Bobcat Late Night.
Bobcat Late Night. All right.
Let's go to the phones. We have.
I better put my cans.
Yeah, put your headphones on if you
all
would.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Jerry, there's the caller there.
Jerry from O'Fallon, I think, has a question about one of your films.
Yeah, good morning. First of all, I would like to interject that I will miss David Letterman. This ages me, but I think he even termed his comedy what we call rip and read comedy from a newsroom where you just kind of throw it out there, and he dared to be stupid, and they still do stuff that's really kind of corny. But anyway, no, I did want to mention a few years ago I saw your film Sleeping Dogs Lie, and while I guess we can say it had an edgy premise, I think it made kind of a really profound statement about the value or the danger of being completely honest, and I just thought that was really a very underrated, just a very excellent film.
Oh, thank you. Thanks a lot. That's a deep cut. Not a lot of folks saw Sleeping Dogs Lie. It did go to Sundance. It was originally called Stay. If you know what the movie's about, so that's a joke for our audience of one. But it's kind of interesting for some reason I'm interested in honesty, and that one tackled the fact that I think a lot of damage is done by people who insist on being honest all the time. And that's why. But then the movie that I did after that, World's Greatest Dad, which is one that stars Robin Williams, was it was the flip side of that, and that was about being honest. So I don't know where I stand on honesty. It is something that fascinates me, and it seems to end up in all my screenplays.
Thanks for your call.
I guess how Wes Anderson always has a hotel in luggage.
382-8255, 314-382-8255, 382-TALK is our number if you have a question for our guest, comedian Bobcat Goldthwait. And he's here. He's appearing at the Funny Bone. You've done so many things. I get the impression maybe you like being behind the scenes as much as up front.
I do, and I think fans of my stand-up and fans of the earlier movies I was in are disappointed in a weird way. But I just have always been interested in what interests me, which sounds kind of indulgent. But yeah, I continue. I've like I said, a lot of folks don't know this, but I've directed 7 movies now. I've just started my 7th one. And
tell me about that.
It's a fascinating. It's a doc. It's my first doc. And it's about a guy who is a comedian and a political satirist, a real brilliant guy named Barry Crimmins. And as an adult, he worked through his childhood abuse in a fascinating way, and came out the other side and went on to be awarded this Peace Abbey Award from Howard Zinn. And so he went from like basically an angry bar comic to this guy who was kind of renowned and. In a weird way, this is one of the last taboos is to discuss male abuse. I think that's not what drew me to it. But later, when I started making it, I go, I guess this is an important subject.
Mm-hmm.
And this is all coming from the guy from Police Academy. I'm fully aware. Like sometimes, if I heard myself getting interviewed, I'd have to punch me in the throat.
Because you think so?
Well, I think sometimes I might start coming off a little pretentious, but I hope that's why I always still to this day while I direct movies, it's still Bobcat Goldthwait. I don't want to say.
Well, speaking of your name, for the longest time, I figured both those were made up.
Goldthwait? It's so hard to say. Why would I do that?
I don't know. I was going to ask you.
My favorite mangling of my name was a woman asked me if I was Bob Scratch Goldfarb. Are you Bob Scratch Goldfarb? And I was like, yes. Like, I'm thinking, what is the quickest way to end this conversation? Yes, I am Bob Scratch Goldfarb.
Now, was Bobcat a name you came up with for your –
no.
Was that from childhood?
It is from when I was a teenager. I grew up with a guy named Tom Kenny who went on – I've known him since I was 6 years old. He went on to become SpongeBob and do a bunch of other things. And when we were teenagers, oddly enough, this guy I'm talking about, Barry Crimmins, hosted a comedy show, and his name was Bearcat. And us being sarcastic jerks when we were 16, oh, that's funny. My name's Bobcat, and he's Tomcat, which is a lie. But the joke backfired because now it's 30-some years later, and I'm Bobcat, and they're Barry and Tom. So
let's go back to the phones. Jack's calling from St. Louis. Hi, you're on the air with Bobcat. Jack, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to thank Bobcat for a wonderful movie that I consider a minor masterpiece. Came out years and years ago. He starred in it. I can't remember if he directed it, but Shakes the Clown.
Oh, which, thanks. Yeah, that's the
which is, let me interject, the Citizen Kane of alcoholic clown movies.
Thank you. It's funny that that's the only movie that I've directed that I'm in, and I don't think I'll ever do that again. And talk about, like, pretentious. I just found a photo, which is really funny, of me behind the camera looking through the lens, really serious, but I'm in a clown outfit. So, yeah, Shakes has got its own cult following. You know, we recently did a reunion where we did a table read, and I was shocked at how many people came out to see it.
Jack, what was your favorite part of that movie?
Well, it's been a long time since I saw it, but I just thought it was ultimately, I thought it was touching and sweet. You know, I mean, this guy, a very troubled individual, not necessarily getting along with most of the world most of the time. But
you know, what's funny is there's a St. Louis connection in Westport. There was a novelty shop. Is that sound right?
Annie M's or something?
Yeah. And that was the birth of Shakes the Clown. I actually saw they had clown noses there, and it just made me think, like, how miserable clowns probably really were.
Yeah, I've always wondered.
What year did that come out? Do you remember?
It was 91 or 92, yeah.
Thanks for your call, Jay.
All right.
Well, I don't know. Clowns always bothered me, Bobcat. I don't know about you. Clowns frighten me.
A lot of folks, clowns frighten, but the
does the name John Wayne Gacy ring a bell?
Yeah, I know. That's the thing. It's like people put down stand-up comedians a lot as being boorish and narcissistic, but, you know, we don't have any serial killers in our, you know.
Nothing in your cellar.
That we know of. I mean, there could be some bodies in Carrot Top's basement.
You said when we were talking about that last movie that you made it sound like it wasn't a good experience acting and directing. I would think that'd be great. Boy, are you the boss then.
Yeah, but some folks do it really well. I mean, you look at that show Girls and stuff, but I take the job being behind the camera very serious, so it was too hard to separate. In fact, I did show up in World's Greatest Dad with a cameo, and there was a guy who was supposed to play the limo driver, and he couldn't show up, so I played the part in the last minute. And Robin opens up the door, and it's me. And I didn't think that was too much of a stretch that a guy from Police Academy was driving a limousine now. But so he opens up the door, and he looks at me and goes, "You forgot the dialogue, didn't you?" I go, "Yeah, I did." He goes, "Who wrote this?" But, yeah, so it's too much pressure, I think, to be for me on both sides.
Do you like to improvise on camera?
I like to, yeah, but I like, you know, I find all the movies I make collaborative. So sometimes there's a lot of improv and then other times there's not. The new movie is called Willow Creek. It comes out in July. And there was only like a 25-page outline, and the actors did do we would talk before the scenes and then shoot it. There's a lot of indie filmmakers that I admire, like Joe Swanberg, and I wanted to try to tackle a movie like that.
Yeah. How do you approach when you opened last night at Funny Bone Valley Park? And as I said, you're there tonight and tomorrow. So how do you approach that when you do the stand-up thing? How flexible are you when you walk into the room? Do you exactly know where you're going to go?
No, but I have basically a there's like an outline in my head, but you have to keep yourself a little flexible just to keep it interesting for yourselves. I mean, you know, I'm in a mini mall next to a place that sells birds and handguns. So, you know, if I didn't address that, that's kind of weird.
Well, you can catch Bobcat at the Funny Bone Valley
selling
Park.
Birds and handguns.
And no telling what else. Shows remain tonight and tomorrow night at 7:30 and 9:30 both nights. That's the Funny Bone at Valley Park. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page. We'll have a link, and you might make note of Funny Bone's phone number and call now. 636-529-1201, 636-529-1201. And I have one final question for you, just because you've been on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, which, of course, airs on this station, the NPR show, and you actually won.
No.
Did you win once?
I came really close just a few weeks ago. It was like my personal best. I got so many right. And then I was ticked. When I first started, I thought it was funny not to get a lot right. Now you get really serious. That's what Poundstone did. Like, she used to get a lot wrong, and now she's very serious about it.
And you'll be on again sometime.
I'm on a bunch coming up, I think in May and then June,
Bobcat Goldthwaite, thanks so much. You got it right today. Thanks for being here.
Thank you.
Coming up next on Cityscape, we meet Metro Theater Company's new artistic director. This is St. Louis Public Radio.